So, big swings on the return? Big problem. You do not want to be swinging big on the return. That is not good. You want to keep your swings very small on the return, and then you want most of the power to come from your legs. The reason for that is you're already running through the return. That's the only shot in pickleball, actually. Fun fact, the return is the only shot in pickleball that you should be running through while you hit. You don't stop it at the return. You don't have time. You have to be running through it while you hit it. So you better have a very short swing because there's a lot of forward momentum going to your target while you hit that return.
This is the moment we waited for. Everything you want is right here. We gonna give them what they came for. We gonna take it up from last year. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Yeah.
All right, guys, another episode of my show. We're just going to get right into it. I've been teaching a ton of clinics, so I've had a lot going on, and I've also been having a lot of fun doing it. First thing we want to talk about is we just had a great clinic at Thunderdome Pickleball. Super fun time over there in Estero, Florida. It was crazy. It kind of felt like the middle of nowhere, and we just, for whatever reason, there was a lot of good players that were there, and we had an awesome time. So that was one of my favorite clinics that I did. Another very special shout out to Heather and Greg in New Canaan, New Canaan Racquet Club. We had an awesome time there. They're the most helpful people ever and just the flat out best. So shouting them out on the podcast. I'm not even sure if they watch all my podcasts. I know they watch some of them, but they might have better things to do. So either way, yeah, they're the absolute best. So that's about it. We're going to get into it pretty quickly. Sorry, a little bit. I just had a kombucha. It's like the most, whatever they call that. But anyway, carbonated thing ever. That's what they call it. So anyway, we're going to talk about how important it is to put the ball away cross court with the short angle on the overhead, because at these clinics, I mean, I'm seeing a lot of players that maybe don't have a ton of power and are having a tough time putting the ball away. And they think that the answer to do that is to just hit it as hard as they can. Maybe right through the middle of the court, maybe trying to spike the ball or trying to make it bounce deep. That's not the answer. So if you want to learn how to put the ball away, and for me, this was something I had to learn when I was learning how to play well lefty because I didn't have a great lefty overhead. Putting the ball away cross court, short angle is, I think, the most efficient and best way to put the ball away. Basically end the point, that is, with the overhead or even a, you know, any shoulder high shot. The reason for that is, the geometry of the court is such that if you go from the sideline, cross court to the other sideline, even if it bounces pretty short, it is almost as far of a distance, maybe 5 feet past the kitchen line there, as it would be if you were going directly all the way to the baseline, but hitting it down the line, right? Because cross court versus down the line, more space that way. So super important, I think, to be putting the ball away that way because you can hit the ball very hard, but also have it bounce very short. It's also the shortest part of the net. If you go cross court, you're going right to that middle. So I have found that when I put that ball even, well, I would say this, when you're trying to put that ball away, trying to just hit a winner cross court with a shoulder high ball or an overhead, I actually think that the shorter that you make the ball bounce, the more likely you are to have the point be over and win the point. So the reason for that is the shorter that you make the ball bounce, the more likely it is to just hit the side fence and just kind of run away from the other team. And I think that in the situation where you have a high ball, that shoulder high shot, there is a really good chance that your opponents are just standing there right at the baseline. Because if you're trying to put the ball away and somebody sees you have a high ball, a smart player would be backing up, trying to get back to the baseline because they should be expecting a pretty deep overhead, which is normal. But I found that if you make that ball bounce short, I mean, I've had some cross court overhead winners that have bounced even almost on the kitchen line, which can happen. That's a tough angle. I wouldn't tell you guys to go for that much, but I would definitely say that that short angle overhead is a great way to finish the point. And you can hit it hard, but it doesn't have to be that hard. It has to be something that just sort of angled cross court super sharply and goes and hits the side fence. And another thing, at most pickleball courts, and I'm hoping this gets changed pretty soon, but most pickleball courts do not have a lot of space to the sides. I think that it's It's funny, people talk about, is there enough space back to front? Is there enough space from the baseline to the fence? I actually think the biggest crime at pickleball courts is that there is not enough space side to side. So that makes it tough to hit ATPs. It can, at least. It definitely makes it tough to defend cross-court angle overheads. So I think it's almost a cheat code of sorts, being able to put the ball away with that type of cross-court angle that short over the net. So that's what we're talking about there. And then the main question that I had, and I have never been badgered about this question more in my life. I think it's because the paddles are getting more powerful, or the players are hitting the ball harder. Maybe there's some more younger players coming in. But I must have been asked this 30 times over the course of my clinic tour, which, by the way, I did 8 days straight, if you guys were wondering, which you probably weren't, but I'm going to tell you because I have been, you know, I don't really have any friends. Got to tell somebody this. I've been doing for the last 8 straight days. I just got back yesterday. 8 days going from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. teaching with an average of 1.5 hours break in the middle. There was a couple days where I had 2 hours, a couple days where I had 1 hour, going for like 10.5 hours a day on average for 8 straight days. Just teaching, grinding three and pros, grinding clinics, going to different clubs. We went to like 3 different places in New York, a place in New Jersey, 2 places in Connecticut, a place in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, just absolutely grinding, even hitting 2 clubs per day pretty often, because, you know, there aren't too many clubs where they want you from nine to nine. They could probably get tired of you halfway through. But yeah, I've been going all in. I love teaching, and I love just pushing myself and seeing what happens until maybe I should pass out on the courts one day. But okay, totally got sidetracked. For whatever reason, in the past 8 days, people have been badgering me about how to deal with playing against bangers, how to deal with playing against people that are hitting the serve super hard and then hitting the drive super hard. And I would know, because I am one of those people. I like to hit the serve really hard, and I like to hit the third shot really hard. So, well, I would tell you, you know, not too hard. You know, we have another podcast. You don't want to hit it as hard as you can, the third shot drive. You do want to get some dip, but I am aggressive with it. So, anyway, I couldn't have been badgered more with, you know, older players asking me, how do I deal with the serve and drive of these younger players who are also playing with these new super powerful paddles? And because the paddles are so powerful, they're able to crush serves and crush third shot drives. So these players, these older players who are coming up to me, are asking me, well, James, I'm having a tough time going from the baseline to the kitchen. You know, I'm getting caught in the transition zone while my opponent is hitting their third shot drive. And yeah, I just do not have enough time to get up to the kitchen. I don't feel like running that fast. I'm playing pickleball because I'm older and I thought it was easy. And I'm like, well, yeah, it is easy. We're going to make it easier with this tip. And speaking of this tip, well, I'll just say this. It's pretty simple. If somebody is crushing the serve and then hitting a good drive on the other side of the court and you're having a tough time, you can do the cross-court high return. Cross-court high return. 2 reasons you do it, okay? Firstly, if you return high cross-court, assuming you're not unwinding a stack, then that means that you're putting the ball in front of your partner. If you're putting the ball in front of your partner, that means they are the ones who are more likely to have to deal with that third shot, as opposed to you having to deal with that third shot. And the good thing about that is they are at the kitchen already. They're ready to handle a third shot drive. You are back there on your way, moseying up from the baseline to the kitchen because maybe you don't want to, maybe you can't sprint up there. So you're making your partner probably have to deal with it by returning cross court. And the second more important thing here with the cross court high return, if you go cross court and high with your return, that ball is going to be in the air for quite a while. The reason that ball is going to be in the air for quite a while is because the thing that I always like to talk about, the geometry of the court. So the geometry of the court is such that if you go cross court, there's an extra 5 or 6 feet of space. That's a lot of space, an extra 5 or 6 feet of space when you go from cross court to cross court. And if you hit it with some height, you hit it pretty high, that ball is going to be in the air for a very long time. So that's my favorite thing to do if I'm feeling lazy, which is never. But there are some times that when I'm teaching clinics and I don't feel like sprinting, I'll go cross court, high, and I will have all the time in the world because you can be sure that that ball will be in the air for a long time. It's going high over the net, and it's going cross court, and we're taught pretty early on that the return has to bounce. So, yeah, They can't take that one out of the air. So hit it as high as you want. And that brings me to the next point. I've had people asking me, James, I feel like I'm popping my returns up kind of high. Is that bad? No, it's not bad. I think that a high return is totally fine and in some cases better than a flat return. The only problem with high returns is if they are short. But then again, all short returns are bad. There's no such thing as a good short return. So, really, I mean, well.
All right, so now I'm here to talk to you guys about Selkirk backpacks. I probably shouldn't have to talk to you about them. I mean, you see them, you know, it's enough of an ad to see them at all these tournaments. I mean, it seems like everybody's got one, and I actually think they're the best. You know, I'm always begging Rob to send me more. I've got like four or five backpacks. They last so long, too. I think the biggest thing about Selkirk backpacks is that they're really durable, especially with me. I mean, I'm putting as many paddles as possible in the backpacks. I've got gallons of coffee in the backpacks, sweaty shirts. I've done everything possible that you shouldn't do to a backpack, to a Selkirk backpack, and I've had it now for 2 years. So I'm a huge proponent of the Selkirk backpacks. I think the tour line ones especially are very good. They look cool. They look sleek. I personally like the black ones. I'm known to bring two of them on court every match. So yeah, these are just my personal opinions on the Selkirk backpacks. I also think the team line is good. And yeah, I think if you want one, get one because they're going to last you quite a while. And they also look pretty cool. And they don't necessarily just look like a pickleball backpack either. I mean, I can wear them pretty much and bring them wherever, and it doesn't really, you know, it kind of just fits in with any other backpack that you would have. So
no, there can't be. Is there a good such thing as a good short return? I don't think there should be. I mean, maybe three. I really don't. I'm gonna stand by that. A short return is almost never good. Yeah, but of course, sorry, it's late over here when I'm recording. I'm trying to be nice to the people in the comments. There's always some comments that are like, well, maybe this is the case, maybe that is the case. Because all the levels are so different, and the game is so different from the pro game to the 3-0 game, so I get it. But I'm pretty sure a deep return is always better than a short return. I'm gonna trust my gut on that one. Okay. So anyway, people say, well, I keep popping up my returns. Well, there's two things to talk about here. First, a high return is not bad. A high return gives you more time to get to the kitchen. And also, the higher a ball is, the more likely it is to travel farther. The more height you put on the ball, the deeper that it will probably land. Deeper is good. FYI, right? We just talked about that. So that's okay. But if you are popping your returns up too high and too deep and you are missing them long, which I've seen a lot of at these clinics, especially with the poppier paddles, that becomes more of an issue. The more power on your paddle, hard serve comes at you. Think about it. If you rip a ball at a wall, for example, it'll come back fast and the wall isn't swinging. The wall is just a wall. Well, if your paddle's there and you're playing with a delaminated paddle or a super powerful paddle, if you just put it there, it's going to come back fast off of a hard serve. So I get that the missing of deep returns has become more of a common problem these days. And I think that the main issue with it actually is, well, it's two things. People overswinging on their return, obviously. Taking big swings on their return, not something that I think you should be doing. We actually just did an Instagram post on that. Maybe you could check out my Instagram. I like to plug my own Instagram. I know, but I mean, my Instagram is James Ignatius. He actually does a pretty funny post lately. We did the paddle throw post. We did a post of me like fake cheating against my friend in skinny singles. Check it out. We're trying to be funny. We did our second funny post. We've actually got our third funny post coming. I might actually be out before this podcast is out. So anyway, yeah, if you think my posts are funny, tell me no matter what, because that's like my favorite thing to hear. Because most of those funny ideas are mine, because my assistants Ryan and Max are like not that funny. So anyway, okay, sorry guys, getting off topic again. If you're wondering, I've got a lot of extra energy this podcast because I've been teaching all day, and the more that I'm outside, I'm like the opposite of a normal person. The more that I work, the more energy I get. So that's what's going on. Okay, so big swings on the return, big problem. You do not want to be swinging big on the return. That is not good. You want to keep your swings very small on the return, and then you want most of the power to come from your legs. The reason for that is you're already running through the return. That's the only shot in pickleball, actually. Fun fact, the return is the only shot in pickleball that you should be running through while you hit. You don't stop it at the return. You don't have time. You have to be running through it while you hit it. So you better have a very short swing because there is a lot of forward momentum going to your target while you hit that return. So I keep my swings very small. None of this big stuff. My elbow's almost never getting behind my body. Okay. The other thing, too, is people popping up their head and popping up their body while they hit it. So that's another very, very big problem with the return of serve, because since you are running forward to the target while you hit it, you have to stay down and keep all of your weight and momentum going to that target. And if your weight and momentum starts to go up while you're hitting it, what do you think the ball is going to do? It's going to go up. So try to avoid that as well. Those are the main things. And I mean, just as a quick segue, I see at the 3-5 and definitely the 3-0 level, the popping up of heads and the popping up of bodies while we hit our shots a lot more than I see it at the pro level, because at the pro level, you see it almost never. There are not too many pros that you can point out to me. I mean, if there are, please tell me, who on most of their shots are doing this with their head, just, you know, looking at the ceiling while they're trying to hit their shot. I don't think it's a good way to play pickleball. I would highly recommend that you try to keep your head forward and straight, and in some cases down. A lot of people have this problem, and a lot of people don't know that they have this problem, which is that they are popping up their head while they hit the shot. So for me, I never had that problem, but I've actually been able to teach some people. I think the best way, this is serious actually, so we're going to get into a serious tone, because this is something that helped a ton of people. So a lot of people have the issue of popping up their body and popping up their head while they hit any shot at pickleball. And I've told players to try to stay down. I've told players to try to keep their knees bent so they stay down. That stuff didn't really work. The only thing that has consistently worked for me, for whatever reason, and has consistently helped players, has been when I have told them that when they hit the shot, while they are throughout that duration of making contact with the ball, so just for that split second that they are actually, their paddle is touching the ball, they need to pretend like there is a ceiling of lava an inch above their head. So while they are hitting it, they need to be pretending just for that millisecond that there is something above their head that they do not want to touch and they desperately cannot touch. That has helped a ton of people, and I think it makes sense because it's really easy to just focus on not pulling up your head, actually. It's harder to focus on your whole body, but you're pretty, you know, most people are pretty in tune with their head. So for whatever reason, if you just focus on your head, well, if you don't pull up your head at all, you can be sure that your body isn't pulling up at all. It's kind of how it works. The head's at the top of your body. So yeah, that's pretty much it. And that is all we have. I mean, outside of the fact that we're continuing to definitely do a lot of newsletter stuff. We actually had, I'm not allowed to shout out other companies on this, but I can talk about my newsletter. We've had some other companies sponsoring our newsletter and getting great feedback, getting great revenue from it. I've been told getting a lot of results because my newsletter is super new. Everybody tunes in on it. And my newsletter is a little special and different in that we're not just giving you news, we're giving you value, all this different stuff. People tune into the newsletter because they get coaching and free coaching, and basically everything's free and I teach you for free, which is what I'm doing right now. And so if you want to sponsor the newsletter, hit me up on Instagram or email me at jamesignatowichpickleball@gmail.com, because our engagement rate is so high. People want to sponsor us, so there's not a waiting list. I wish I could say there is. Maybe there will be a waiting list after this podcast. Anyway, I had to plug myself a little bit. You can just, honestly, if you don't want to hear me plug myself, just skip the last 30 seconds of every podcast, because that's kind of where I leave that time. Anyway, thanks, guys. That's all we got.